John and Sam in Japan, the international comedy podcast.
Theme tune time. Let's go, John. John and Sam in Japan. John and Sam in Japan. John and Sam in Japan.
I told you there's no way I'm singing.
Come on. John and Sam in Japan. John and Sam in Japan. Yeah. John and Sam in Japan.
Never gonna happen. And put your clothes back on, it's just weird.
Never!
John and Sam in Japan, the international comedy podcast.
Welcome to the show. Here is John.
Here is Sam.
And this is John and Sam in Japan,
the international comedy podcast.
Summer holiday. Summer holiday. Edition.
Yeah. I met one of our listeners the other day, and they said to me, like, you know, you've stopped doing it too, it's too infrequent, I need you to do it more. I said, we'll just both on holiday. Right. So I think the idea is we'll be back soon, won't we, doing two episodes a month.
The previous episode, the aforementioned Japanese test, it all sort of hinges on that. So you'll know in September, if there's two episodes, I've passed it. And if it's only one, that's because I'm hitting the books. Probably metaphorically and literally.
Yeah. When do you find out? Usually about October, is it?
No. It's at the end of August or beginning of September.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Yeah, we'll know. But the listener you bumped into enjoys the podcast. He wants more of it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it is a summer holiday, so it does mean we have to take a little bit of an extra break anyway. Of course. But I say I have a summer holiday. My summer holiday is like a week or so. Yours is like 2 months. What have you been?
Well,
what have you been doing for the last?
Well, it's a 6 weeks holiday, isn't it? But because my missus has got a full-time job, it just means I'm being a fucking house husband for...
Which is actually harder than going to school.
It's fucking horrendous. And, you know, this, you know, global warming, and it's absolutely pissed it down. It's the worst summer I've ever had, like, just weather-wise. It's just been horrendous. And it's not even warm rain, and it's cold. So I can't do any camping. You literally can't do anything. The kids just go crazy because they're just stuck in the house, you know. I'm properly depressed. Like, I picked my missus up from work the other day and she's like, oh, what's wrong? Why are you so angry? I said, I'm not angry. I'm all right. I'm just fucking pissed off. I'm stuck in the house all day fucking. You know. What's for dinner?
I'm
fucking cooked, all right. You know. Have you done the ironing? Yes, I've done the ironing.
You know. Wow. Is ironing done in your house?
Yeah, yeah. Well, for certain, like, for certain stuff. We don't iron socks. We're not like my mum's level of madness. No, things like work shirts. My missus works, they all have to wear this kind of uniform. So that's her going to... I'm literally a house husband. Like, she's going to work and I'm ironing her shirts. like, she's going out for meals with her friends and stuff and I'm just fucking sat home looking after the kids.
Feeling like, neglected.
Well, I've tried really hard. Like, I've been properly, like, not drinking during the week and only drinking on a Friday and Saturday, trying to keep to that routine. So, because, you know, in previous years, sort of when my missus didn't have a job and when the kids were a bit younger and I had 6 weeks off, it could be every night, especially when I lived in Japan, you know, wake up, go to the beach, few beers, just wake up later and later and later and later. But now I'm fucking... Every day, up at 7:30, milking the cows, feeding the chickens. I mean, fucking, it's been shit.
Does your wife at least give you a little bit of pocket money to spend on yourself?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I'm just hemorrhaging money as well. Even though I'm not going anywhere or doing anything, I'm just fucking, August is just horrendous. So, yeah, car insurance, MOTs, all that sort of stuff. And then little stuff that needed...
Comes up.
Yeah, hotel room books, flights. It's just relentless. I've had one day out with... I went met the some of the dads from the Japanese school in Leeds on a Saturday afternoon. I'd said to them, let's have a bit of a daytime drinking because most of their wives have gone off to Japan. So, like, one of them is... Well, they're all roughly my age. One of them's a couple of years younger and then one of them's a couple of years older, but good, proper good guys, very different characters, but very British. But then one guy, like, you can tell, like, I love him, but he obviously works from home he doesn't really go out apart from when he goes out with his work colleagues, and he'll always turn up at the Japanese school like after he's been out with his work friends, and his face is cut or he's lost his wallet in a taxi. So I went out and he gets excited. So like we tried to go into my brother-in-law's brother owns a bar in Leeds, and like it was only about 7 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're told, well, evening. No, he can't come in, he's too pissed. So it was one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just a proper loose cannon, just like dead excited, like running around, you know, like literally running. Come on, let's go to the next pub, one and on. And I said to him, listen, like I literally bought him a pint. This is near the very end, but I bought him a pint, put it in front of him. He went, right, come on, let's go, next one. I said, you've not even drank that. He said, I've drank mine. I said, you haven't? I've literally just put it in front of you. I've drank my pint. I went, you haven't? It's there. Fine. Just like, fucking snick this pint. I was like, oh. It's funny, because I messaged him the day after. I said, are you all right? Like, did you get home all right? Because he was saying, oh, the morning after I had to, my missus had booked my daughter to do this test. So on the one day out of the whole 6 weeks I'm going out to enjoy me time, she books this fucking test for my daughter over in Leeds at 9 a.m. So I have to make sure I'm not too drunk to drive on a motorway. So I was seething inside, just thinking, yeah, all the fucking nights that you've gone out with all your workmates, you know, all these different things. And then the one week after I've been at home with the kids all week, ironing and cooking and cleaning for you, bit of me time, and you fucking ruin it.
I like the way you distinguish I've got to be sober. Was it you said? I've got to be sober enough to drive on the motorway.
Yeah,
like the rules, the drink driving limit is different for the motorway and the regular road.
Oh yeah,
I'm pretty sure they're the same.
Well, no, but I mean, like if I crash on a normal road, I'm taking out one. Two people, if I'm lucky. On a motorway, we're talking, you know, double figures.
Yeah, it could be. I see the math. I can understand where you're coming from. Risk, I think, like, legally.
Cost risk analysis. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, when we were hammered near the end, he's going, oh, fuck that. I'll tell you what, I'll pay for a hotel. We'll just stay in a hotel. And then you can just catch the train back in the morning. I was like, oh, I've got to be there for 9 a.m. There's no way I can wake up in a hotel with you and then get on a train in a country where they just cancel trains left, right and centre. So I said, in my younger days, I'd have probably said yes, but I was quite sensible. And I went home on the last train, got back about midnight. But the morning after, I'd mailed him saying, did you get home all right? Because we left him. He lives in a different part of Yorkshire to us. And he's like, he mailed
me. We left him in the gutter.
No, he was dancing on a dance floor after he just smoshed a bottle of beer.
Oh, wow. He was really going for it.
Yeah, it was by accident. But he...
You're just confirming. His wife and his kids are in Japan. He's England on his own.
He went to Japan like the week after we went drinking. So they mailed me the day after saying, oh, you know, did you get home all right? And then he replied at about 10:30 saying, oh, fucking hell, I'm in massive trouble. Because my wife thinks I'm dead. So because I didn't answer the phone call this morning. Like his missus had mailed my missus saying, do you know where he is? And she'd just gone, no, he's just out in Leeds with John. I don't know. John said he'd just left him dancing. So his missus is obviously thinking he's doing all sorts of stuff.
For her, the best case scenario is that he's dead. That's really what she's thinking at that point. Yeah.
Dead or arrested. Yeah, probably dead.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to embarrass the family, no.
This is J&S in J News.
It's time for the news. John, what have you got for us?
So this is from Sky News. So see if you can try and guess the missing words. A Texas woman was attacked by what and what at the same time while mowing her lawn. So two things.
So two things. And they are different things.
Yes, two completely different things.
So she was in Texas.
Yeah.
So in those blank spaces, is it like one word per blank?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Is it in my mind just then, I was sort of thinking like gun-wielding ferret or something like that.
No, it's just, it's just Texas woman attacked by something and something at the same time while mowing the lawn.
Right. Two individual words.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go Texas woman attacked by snake and raccoon.
Oh, so you got 50% right. So I'll give you snake.
Okay.
So a Texas woman attacked by snake and what at the same time while mowing a lawn?
Is it another animal?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not a raccoon. I mean, how close, like in a percentage ranking, how close is raccoon to the answer?
Miles off.
Like in terms of like leg number and colour and things, miles off.
Yeah, miles off. It's not a mammal.
Oh, okay. Okay. Texas woman attacked by snake and eagle.
Oh, close. It's a hawk. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I reckon I get it, don't I?
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I'll give you that. It. A Texas woman attacked by snake and hawk.
God, that was a bad day for her.
Yeah. So how do you think it went down?
So I reckon she was... was she on one of those, like... ride on lawn mowers? That's what I imagine American people are using.
To be honest, it doesn't say about that. But yeah.
So I reckon that she was kind of mowing on one of these tractor things,
yeah.
And then there was a snake in the grass.
Yeah,
not a metaphorical one.
Yeah.
And I reckon the eagle was about to swoop down to get the snake for its dinner, and at the same time, she kind of went to the snake, and then the snake got free, and it just kind of, they both were attacking the snake at the same time, and the snake was defending itself, and the eagle was going, like, get off my dinner. I reckon it was a dinner dispute.
Yeah, kind of, but this is, I mean, for me, this is just amazing. So it says, a Texas woman has recounted her terror after being attacked, simultaneously by a hawk and a snake while she was mowing a lawn. Peggy Jones from Silsby near Beaumont was carrying out the garden chore when a snake fell on her seemingly out of the sky and wrapped itself around her arm. She told...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It says, the snake was squeezing so hard and I was waving my arms in the air, and then this hawk was swooping down, clawing at my arm over and over, Miss Jones said. I just...
Oh, my God.
This is brilliant. She says, I just kept saying... What do you think she just kept saying? So she repeats, three...
Well, she's in Texas.
Yeah, got it.
Well, were you about to say there's three words?
There's three words and she says them twice, so six words in total.
So my first guess was going to be Jesus Christ, but as it's three words, yeah. I'm reckoning it might be Jesus fucking Christ.
No, I don't think she's a blasphemer. I definitely don't think...
Okay.
She's more of a basher than a blasphemer.
Are they swear words?
Oh, no, no, Jesus.
Is there any swear
Jesus
words
is in there. Oh, no, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, it's not like Jesus save me, is it?
Well, I'll give you that. It's help. So I just kept saying, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus.
And did he? Did he help?
Well, it says, Mrs. Jones said the hawk attempted at least four times to take the snake before eventually succeeding in its mission, leaving blood everywhere. Her husband then ran out to see what was happening. I was yelling and screaming. He didn't know what I was saying. I thought I was bit by a snake, she added. She said she then went to hospital where she was treated for the cuts inflicted on her by the hawk and bruises from the snake wrapping itself around her arm. Despite not being bitten by the snake, she had a narrow escape, saying, I discovered the lens on my glasses was broken and there was snake venom on my glasses. So,
ooh,
yeah.
Lucky there.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon that's pretty suspicious timing by the husband? That he came out after the hawk has done one?
Yeah.
To be fair, if I saw my missus in the garden battling a snake and a hawk, reckon I might... I might bide my time as well.
Oh, I mean, it's probably he stood on the roof with a snake and he's got his like falconer glove on and just chuck a snake on him.
Well, he's been taking night classes in falconry. Bit suspicious.
He almost got away with it too. This was the bit that made me laugh about this story. Well, the last two paragraphs, two sentences were... made me chuckle. So it says, remarkably, she had previously survived a snake bite, adding, I feel like the luckiest person alive to have survived this. I mean, getting bit by a snake once, that's quite unlucky. Getting bit by a snake falling out of the sky and then being attacked by a hawk. I mean, different versions of lucky.
Now, my idea of lucky is quite different to hers, I would say.
But yeah, it was this last sentence that just made me laugh, because I think this just sums up sort of that part of America. It says, so Mrs. Jones has since been back mowing her lawn. And then there's a little dash. It says, under the close supervision of her husband. you know, we slag off the Taliban. It's like, why is he not mowing the lawn?
Well, exactly what I was about to say. Wouldn't be like that in your household, would it?
No, I do all the lawn mowing. Yeah. So it just says that when asked, when her husband was asked why he didn't run out and intervene, he said he was worried about the hawk going after his one-eyed trouser snake.
That was J&S in J News.
Good morning!
Afternoon or evening. This is the Movie Quotes game. To play this game,
you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
You'll hear different quotes from a film.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
Just guess which film they're from. It is not a race, so there is no
pain for speed.
And if you get it wrong, it doesn't matter.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Just do your best. And you'll
make my day.
Let's get on with the game. It is time for me to say...
Blame Sam.
And...
here's Johnny!
All right, now it's time for the movie quotes quiz. So I've got a film that I'm positive Sam has definitely seen, and I'm going to tell him five quotes, and the idea is the quotes get easier and easier, and hopefully he can get it by the end, although I'm hoping he doesn't, because if he doesn't get it, I win.
Well, that's right. We had a little bit of a movie chat before we started recording, so I can rule out, because you know I haven't seen Mission Impossible, the new one, or Oppenheimer. So
no. Well, I mean, I went to watch Oppenheimer last night, so there was no way I was going to be sat in the cinema writing down movie quotes from Oppenheimer.
No.
Just to test you on it.
And to be fair, I'm not sure the material is probably not great for a comedy podcast.
Right. So the first one is... so this is quote number one. And like I said, it's hard, and then hopefully it'll get progressively easier.
Sorry, did you say it was you said it was an 80s movie, did you?
I'm not telling you that, am I?
No. I just thought I might trick you into disclosing it.
Okay, so it's, I'd give $4 million just to be able to take a piss without it hurting.
Now, I know this.
Oh, dear.
Well, I don't... That quote, I mean, he says at the very beginning, I mean, it'll be five quotes later and I won't have a clue, but that rings such a massive bell. I mean, it might just be something I've heard one of our friends say, though, of course, because they're all pretty old. Yeah, I do. I'm going to get this. I'm not going to get it now, but I'm going to say I'm going to get this by the third quote. I'm going to bet on myself there. So go on. I'm not sure. So say it again. Say the quote again.
I'd give $4 million just to be able to take a piss without it hurting.
Yeah, I think it's a cop buddy kind of thing, something like that. Can't really remember. So I'll go. I don't think it is, but I'll go Lethal Weapon as a shot in the dark.
All right. No, it's not. Okay. So the next one is... good health is the most important thing. More than success, more than money, more than power.
Oh. You see, that's got more difficult for me. Is it Jerry Maguire?
No, it's not. All right. So it's... I'm a retired investor living on a pension. I came home to vote in the presidential election because they wouldn't give me an absentee ballot. Seconds later, somebody walks up and shoots him in the stomach, killing him.
Oh, got it. Yes, I think I know it. Right. Well, I say got it. And I did say in three.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this... I'm going to struggle to remember the title. Hang on a sec. Listener, what I'm going to do is just sit here thinking for 5 minutes, but I'll edit out the pause for you. and it hasn't been that long. I think it's In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood.
No, it's not. No.
What? No. I was pretty certain about that. Damn. Is it? Oh, okay, go on. Right, so I haven't met my own deadline, but I've still got two more chances.
Yeah, all right. So this one's quite a long quote. It says, if I could only live to see it, to be there with you, what I wouldn't give for 20 more years. Here we are, protected, free to make our profits without Kefauver, the goddamn Justice Department and the FBI, 90 miles away, in partnership with a friendly government. 90 miles, it's nothing. Just one small step, looking for a man who wants to be a president of the United States and having the cash to make it possible. Michael, we're bigger than US Steel.
Michael, big hint. It's always a hint when the names are in there, isn't it? Michael was a character in The Godfather. I'm going to have to go Godfather.
Nope. Okay. So the last quote then. I mean, you should get it for this. I know it was you, Freddo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
I mean... So which is the one with Fred? I mean, it is a Godfather, isn't it?
I'm not telling you.
Yeah, it is. Fredo's in one of them. No, is it Freddo or Fredo?
Fredo. I think we just pronounce the chocolates Freddo, but Fredo.
Okay. So it is a Godfather. Now, it's not number one. I've struck that off the list.
We said it's not number one.
Well, he's got a 50-50 chance. Oh. The one where Fredo dies. I think that's number three. So, okay, let's go for it. Godfather Part 3.
Yay!
Yeah!
No, I'm saying yay. I'm saying yeah, I win. It's part two.
You twat.
Yeah, it's part two. Yeah, it was on TV the other night. It's one of those films. It just started on Channel 4 like 9 o'clock. What time did it finish? 1 a.m. Shouldn't I? As soon as I start watching it, I think, yeah, fuck this, I'll crack open some beers, I'm all in.
What day of the week was that, out of interest?
Thursday. Yeah, Thursday.
So the statement you made earlier, which I may cut and clip into this section just here.
Well, I've tried really hard. Like, I've been properly not drinking during the week and only drinking on a Friday and Saturday, trying to keep to that routine. So, yeah. Well, I said I'm
not
trying.
Quite
I didn't say
true.
I'm perfect. to be fair, it was Budweiser, so fucking hell.
Uh-oh. Doesn't even count.
No, it doesn't even count.
That was the movie quotes game.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yo, Johnny McBee and Sammy OT, two Brits talk a shit over a cup of tea. Probably a spot of milk and a crumpet, please. But there's something else cooking in the kitchen. Could someone answer the burning question?
It's time for the burning question. This episode's burning question is, tell us about a... That's not a question. This episode's burning question is, when was a time you were interrupted on the toilet? And please give details. So, John, has anyone been in touch?
One of our friends, who definitely should remain anonymous on this, said they once had a wank in the toilets on a flight back from Japan. They said someone was banging on the door before they could finish. So, not exactly a member of the Mile High Club. So
a member of the, what would that be, like the half, I don't know,
half mile. High Club. Yeah. I don't know what would possess you to do that. I think, to be honest, I do know the story. They were watching a film with a certain actress who they liked and then decided that they were going to go into the toilet. And, to be fair to them, it's in the days before iPhones and stuff, so they've got quite a good imagination to an old school, an analog wank, I think they call it. I just imagine this little old Japanese lady, you know, in her slippers with like the eye mask around the top of her head with a toothbrush banging on the door, and he's just in there bashing his meat. And then angry because he couldn't finish.
At that point, do you want turbulence? Do you want no turbulence?
Yeah.
Really shake things up? We had Liz got in touch on email, and she said, I was at a public toilet in a train station. The lady in the cubicle next to me asked me to pass her some toilet roll. I passed her the one behind me on the shelf. Little did I realise that that was the last roll.
Oh.
By the time I had realised, she'd left her cubicle. Oh. I was left in my cubicle with no toilet paper.
I wonder how many times that went on that day.
Yeah. Pass the parcel loo roll edition. How about for you?
I can remember once getting very, very angry. Same on an aeroplane, actually. Trying to change.
Was someone interrupting your wank?
No, I was. I wish I had been wanking. It'd been less fucking filthy than what happened. I was trying to change Emma's. Emma had got diarrhea. I was bringing her back to England by myself, and of course she got diarrhea when she was. This is when she was like.
That, just know. Listeners, that's his daughter, not his wife.
Yeah. So she must have been about 1.5, I guess. So she was still a baby. I'm just trying to fucking change a nappy with diarrhea in it in turbulence. On those tiny little fucking things. And just this person just kept ragging on the door. And, you know, every now and then I'd see like this shit floating out the nappy and stuff. And then I was like, absolute just raging. Raging at just the world because, you know, how unfair was it that I had I remember I was like, you know, panic stations down to like last nappy and still 4 hours of the flight to go. And I was like, why have you done this to me? And then just this fucking, you know, then I got her all tidied up and stuff and then just like ragged open the door and just again, just this pissed up old Japanese bloke just stood there and just, you know, barged past me. So I don't know if he was going to shit his pants or vomit or what, but
maybe he was.
I was tempted to just...
Maybe he was having nappy issues of his own.
If my missus had been on the flight, I would have definitely 100%, because I was that angry, just put Emma with her and then just gone and started ragging on the door just to get back at him. Yeah. But because I had to look after Emma, I couldn't. So it was a revenge that went unsatisfied. So
But I'm sure you took it out on someone at some point.
How about for you?
One that sprang to my mind was when I was living in an apartment in down near Enoshima. This story has quite a few facets, but the apartment owner decided to paint the outside of the building, so they put scaffolding up all around the building, which is fine. But the scaffolders, I don't know if this is like a global thing, but the scaffolders in Japan, when they're putting it up, they use a metal hammer to hit the metal scaffolding poles. And it's like the noise of it is insane. And we had, and I actually at the time, I was living with misophonia Justin. So he must have, I mean, we're lucky he's still here, let's be frank. There was quite a number of apartment buildings, and there was going on for a couple of months. Anyway, they got round to ours, and when they were doing ours, I went for a dump one morning, but the toilet had like a little window. And yeah, it was at this point where I was sat down, you know, fuck, I can't remember, maybe on my phone or with a book. It was none of them. And then the guy who was painting the outside came over. He didn't know I was in the toilet, obviously, and started painting the windowsill of our toilet. And I was stuck there. And I could see his kind of, what is it, silhouette or outline of him through the frosted window. It wasn't clear. But it was like, if I move, he's going to know that I'm in here. I've been doing a dump. So I thought, I'll just wait like a couple of minutes and he'll fuck off. And he was there for ages. And then it got to the point where I'd waited too long to then stand up, because he would be like, oh, I've been there for fucking hours. So I kind of got trapped in there. I felt a little bit like sort of a little bit like Anne Frank, sort of trapped with a guy, you know. There was that kind of vibe to it. But yeah, so interrupted, or certainly more like delayed, to be fair. But luckily, I don't think I had anywhere to go.
I just love the fact how you managed to equate you being sat on a toilet to somebody who died in the Holocaust. It's fucking it's kind of the same, isn't it? Somebody fucking hiding for a life. You just don't want to be embarrassed by some fucking painter and decorator. Put your burning questions, DJ, on the show. It's George and Sis in Japan, gmail.com, on the Facebook and Twitter.
And that's all for today's show. Just leaves me to say thanks to everyone who was involved. Thanks to everyone who got in touch with the burning question. You can get in touch with us at johnandsaminjapan@gmail.com. Visit our website. It's amazing. johnandsaminjapan.com.
So, well, in honour of the woman who got attacked by an eagle and a hawk, so next episode's burning question. Have you been attacked by an animal?
Yeah, and like bonus points if you've been attacked by two at the same time.
Well, I mean, the other question was going to be, have you ever had any life experiences which you can equate to somebody who survived the Holocaust or didn't survive the Holocaust? Your most mundane stories that you can say, that's a bit like...
I mean, it's very, very likely that that part will get edited out, so no one will know what you're talking about.
Right, anything else?
No, I think that's all.
Right,
catch you later. It is time to go. That's the end of the show. If you liked it, write a review.
5 stars or F you.
And if you want to get in touch, we'd like that very much. Send a tape of your comedy. Not a tape, just an MP3. Send us some comedy or a song that is funny. Send us your favorite bit.
But we don't want your dick pics.
It is time to go. That's the end of the show. Tell your friends and your family.
Or even the people you married.
You should join in. Answer the burning question. Send a new story. Preferably something we can pun about. We're on the social media sites, Facebook and Twitter, day and night. It's John and Sam in Japan at gmail.com.
And if you do this, then maybe, just maybe, Sam will put his clothes back on.
John and Sam in Japan, the international comedy podcast.